Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's so tight. Here we go.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Another good one, Nicholas. Nice way to start the hour.
86 was easy. That was an easy year to pick songs from.
I'm trying to think of which DMC album this was.
I don't know. I wasn't a huge Run DMC fan. No? I enjoyed some of their music, but I wasn't. I don't know. It just wasn't my thing.
This, I think My Adidas was on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Raising so. Hell.
There you go. Raising yeah. Hell. Yep. Good one. All right. So hour number three of the show. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, as I always encourage you, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. The menu will come down. You'll catch the hours that you missed, hours 1 and 2, while you're there on the front page. You can also download the app, and I highly encourage that, because then whether you're just driving around town, you're in a bad area and the signal goes down, or you're traveling around the country and you want us to listen to the shows on ESPN 97.5, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss another show.
Do it.
No, Nick, don't nod at me. We were almost there. I thought we were making progress every day. And then someone's got to drop the damn ball. All right. And I'm not going to call this karma, because we've said from the get-go.
I mean, when you lead like that, that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, we've said from the get-go, we know the Astros did indeed cheat. However, as part of that, the overwhelming response of Yankee fans has been just as, I'm just going to say poor instead of what I wanted to say before poor, as they were when the Astros played them the last couple of years in the playoffs, and we heard all the horror stories about how rude the Yankee fans were. But now, a day after we realized there was yet another injury to the Yankees' pitching rotation, and they lost one of their big guns for the year to Tommy John surgery. Why is his name escaping me now? The pitcher they lost yesterday.
Severino?
Yeah, Luis Severino is now out. James Paxton, back surgery, out for a couple months. Herman, 81-game suspension. And now today, another guy that was overly lippy when all the things came out about the Astros, the guy who said he would have hit 80-plus home runs if he knew what pitch was coming, Giancarlo Stanton has yet another grade 1 calf strain. If you're a Yankee fan or a baseball fan, or you just follow the game to some degree, how often is this going to happen?
I forget who it was. Somebody on Twitter that I follow, which isn't many, mm-hmm. was like, said the same thing. Remember when he said about the 80?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, you know what? You know why this is a ridiculous statement? Because you're not healthy enough to ever hit 80. So stop it. Stay healthy and then talk mess.
And that, not point fingers or anything like that, but a lot of guys that have a lot of injuries in their legs are guys that could be linked to certain supplements that sometimes cause you to have quick twitch muscle fiber that gets pulled a lot. I don't know. He's a big guy.
See, now you're just... I would like the record to reflect, Your Honor, that is Joseph Blank saying those.
I did not accuse anybody of anything. I just threw out
those accusations.
There was no accusation.
And then you started off with saying, I'm not saying it's karma, but...
Okay, if I had to choose between the two teams, you know exactly which one I'm choosing, and it ain't with the NY on the hat.
Yeah.
John Boy.
Boston.
No.
Oh, well, no?
The letter itself is a fantastic letter, but not in this case.
That's I bought this a Dodgers hat just because I like the colors. Mm-hmm. And now after all the cheating scandal broke and all the Dodgers fans have been so relentless, now I'm like, man, I want to, like, I would totally wear a Yankees hat just because I like navy.
Boy, you are the bluest of blue guys.
And I can't now. I can't wear a Yankees hat. I really don't want to wear the Dodgers hat. A Boston hat. Damn it! All the good hats are all a bunch of hating ass.
See, and
fan
I got
bases.
The flip side. I grew up a Red green. Sox fan because of the way I was raised. But now, because I became such an Astros fan since I moved to Houston, I've got all these great Red Sox hats that I've never put on my head because I feel it's disrespectful to being an Astros fan. So
I wore my Dodgers hat one day and somebody was like, oh, what's that? Oh, you flip? You get Dodgers? No, I just like the hat. What's wrong with wearing a hat from another team? Is that okay? Can I only wear Texans hats? Because I'm going to tell you right now, not happening. I mean, you could give me 1,000 free Texans hats. I ain't wearing them.
Okay.
What?
I mean, I'm not going to be Jake Asman. But, you know, I don't want to catch the hate from the fan base that thinks because you're in Houston on radio, you have to push the Texans logo and everything. But no, I feel what you're saying. I think, but I don't know. To me, it's like I became such a fan of the Astros that I do have a sense of loyalty, and they are my only baseball team. So I won't wear those hats. But I get what you're saying too. I mean, there's a lot of people
wear a Brewers hat.
I support my home team. Yeah, and they're also in another league.
They were rivals of the Astros for a while.
Right, when they were in the same division, I didn't wear the Brewers hat.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You did.
I didn't. You didn't know me then.
Totally did.
You did not know me.
I knew you enough to know you would still wear that hat.
False. I also didn't like the logo. They didn't go back to the MB. I didn't like that M with the barley below it.
Yeah, but you didn't like the wheat.
You know that's my favorite logo in sports, that MB.
With the little glove-looking thing.
Which a lot of people never realized. It wasn't just an M and a B. It actually made a baseball glove.
Yeah.
I did want to throw one other thing out there, which is somewhat Kobe Bryant related, but just a great story in itself and kind of the cherry on top. One of the other things that Rob Pelinka, and you wanted to get back to that anyway, so this is a good way to tie it in. Rob Pelinka, in part of his speech, also told about what Kobe Bryant's last act as a human being on the planet was when the helicopter was going down. He had texted Rob Pelinka during church, and he had said, hey, do you still have, and they weren't going to give the guy's name, but he said, do you still have friends, because Rob Pelinka used to be an agent before he took over as GM of the Lakers. Do you still have friends that are agents in baseball, and one in particular? And Rob said, normally I wouldn't respond, but in this case, I did. And then he responded again, and he thought, again, I'm in church, I can wait, but something told me I should answer it. And Kobe said, well, I've got this girl. I'll vouch for and speak for her. She is educated. She is personable. She's all these different things. And I was wondering if you could help me get her to him so she could be an intern. And Rob said that was the last text Kobe sent before the helicopter went down. He was trying to help someone else. He was trying to get a young lady an internship. It turns out that young lady was the daughter of Antebelli.
The surviving daughter.
The surviving daughter of Antebelli that went down in the helicopter crash as well. So now it turns out, as the story goes, Scott Boras was the actual agent that Kobe was inquiring about if Rob still knew and could help. And to that degree, once Scott Boras found out about all of this, he's now going to honor the internship and bring on Lexi Altobelli as an intern for his agency.
So my buddy Carter Bryant, he's out of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. He does sports talk, or he did sports talk radio. He's also a comedian. He actually filled in on SB Nation Radio a couple times, drove down to do SB Nation Radio, and then drove back. But he sent me this yesterday morning, this whole Rob Pelinka story. Mm-hmm. He was like, this is total BS. I was like, why?
Well, this is different from the internship, right?
No. This is the exact story.
Oh, okay.
He sends me that story. But this is, I don't know. This is why I'm setting this up this way. Okay. He sends me the whole thing. Do you remember where you were on that foggy, sunless morning of January 26th? That's how it starts. And it's the whole Rob Pelinka story. He says, this Rob Pelinka story is BS. I was like, why is it BS? He says, well, he's a known liar. Remember, this is the Heath Ledger story guy mm-hmm. who made up a story about Kobe Bryant and Heath Ledger having dinner together when that's not true. Kobe said, no, that never happened. He said, the diction is over the top. Normally, when narratives are too perfect like this, it's not true. Think about it. I was in church with my family when this otherworldly text happened. The story is more about Rob, if anything. That he was the last person Kobe talked to is why he published this story. Then he says, so I stayed up late because it really bothered me. He's like, so I wanted to stay up to verify if anything this happened. I found out Rob once went to St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. Can't confirm if he still goes there. But if he does, their services are posted online. Ironically, the one from January 26th isn't posted. So Rob, well, all the services I saw had the preacher not beginning to speak until 9:30. Well, he said after a few texts shortly after 9:30, that screws up his timeline. The church normally has a 30-minute praise worship. So there's no way that text came in the middle of a sermon. I was like, bro, this really bothers you.
I guess so.
All of this. But do you believe him?
Let me say this.
Because he is a known liar.
He is. And I already knew because I remembered the Heath Ledger story. But then it's funny you say that because remember now, again, we were on the air, so we didn't see it live. So when Lisa recorded it, I said, how were the speeches? Were they any good? And she said, I'll tell you what. I thought Gino Auriemma's was the best because he didn't make it about him or basketball. He just made it about stories about Kobe and Gianna. She goes, the agent guy, I really thought he was all about himself and he couldn't stop talking about himself.
He's a narcissist.
And she said there were a couple others like that. And now that you said that and then you bring up the lying thing, yeah, there are a lot of reasons why you might want to not believe.
Like it legit bothered him that he would release this. Now, it could be a little of both. I think it could be that it's true that Rob Pelinka maybe is the last person that Kobe texted.
Did he embellish the story? They were great friends.
Did he embellish the story? We don't know. But the fact is according to what you're saying, there is an article out that says Scott Boras is absolutely...
Oh, it's on ESPN. And Scott Boras said the internship will be created. He told the newspapers it will include Lexi gaining experience in marketing, baseball operations, sports science, and office administration.
Wow. That's really cool.
So from Scott Boras's perspective, and he can be
a guy that could behave a lot worse.
Thumbs up, great job on your part.
Yeah, you could do a lot worse than interning with Scott Boras.
And at least in this case, if he did lie, at least it turns out that something positive will come of it for the young lady who has been through so much tragedy.
But just go tweet Carter the Power on Twitter and tell him how insane he is. Because he didn't even know I did this. He just private messaged me all that. Like, you're a nut, dude.
Now you're gonna get like you spent all Wait, night how do
looking
I reach this guy?
You spent all night looking into this. He's like, it's just BS.
He might have. He might have
I'm saying, so. Like, there was some real interesting facts that he uncovered.
There you go. We continue with the show. Take a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more in the final hour. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Final hour of the show. Nick, Barry, and Joel on a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Appreciate you guys being suspects of the show and listening to us, whatever you may be getting into on this Wednesday. You got your freeze, I think. Or I don't know if you got it tonight or you're going to get it. If you got it last night or getting it tonight.
You can't give a weather update and then not have the accurate information, Joel.
Why are you all over me today on everything that I say?
I'm just messing with you.
They said tonight it's supposed to be in the low 30s.
33 was okay. What I saw or heard. Or
little
whatever.
Uzi will probably chime in here before the end of the show.
Steven Uzek will let us know specifically. He did say I might get my frost that I was hoping for, but it looked like it was last night and not tonight.
Okay. So it did happen last night.
I'm looking at the hourly, and it looks like, overnight low is like 50, something like that.
That's the low?
Yeah.
I thought I saw on the weather reports this morning that the overnight lows are going to be in the 30s.
Am I looking at the wrong zip code here?
I don't know.
Where am I? Why am I in Santa Clara, California?
Well, there in a nutshell would be.
Now see.
Look, Rob Pelinka, get your story
straight. Oh, yeah, you're right. 33 is the low at 7 a.m.
Write that down, Nick.
Yeah, don't.
No. I'm right. Okay.
33, 7 a.m.
There you have it.
Tomorrow morning or tonight?
Yeah,
overnight.
Overnight.
So in the wee hours of the morning, when you're just getting ready to sleep, probably.
Yeah. Well, so that means when I leave the Rockets game tonight, it's not going to be 33 degrees.
Yeah.
No. What time is game time?
7 o'clock tip-off, so I'll probably leave around 11:30.
It'll be about 37 degrees out when you leave. That's still pretty
cold.
Still pretty nippy.
Your nipples could cut glass at that time, Nick. I'm just saying. You might want to bundle up.
Can't.
Why?
Didn't bring enough clothes. Just got this.
Well, if you'd pack clothes a second set to take with you,
that's like my dumbass fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should
be
better
prepared for this.
Some news and notes from the NFL real quick. Okay. Apparently the Jets were saying, there were rumors that the Jets were shopping Le'Veon Bell. They've come out and said that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. He's not being shopped. Vikings say they're not moving on from Diggs. That's what their GM is saying. We'll see if that's true or not as well.
More Diggs wanting, almost implying that he wanted to
trade. I think so. I think so. But apparently Vikings say, nope, they're not moving on from Stephon Diggs. And then Giants cut their captain.
Yep.
Alec Ogletree was
linebacker,
expendable apparently, and they needed to make some salary cap moves. So, what better way to do that than to cut your captain?
He'll find a home next.
Take
year.
A dead money hit of about $3.5 million, but save $8.25 million against
Texans
the salary
could
cap.
Do worse than to have an Alec Ogletree in their linebacking core.
Yeah, that wouldn't suck.
As opposed to paying someone as the sixth highest linebacker in football. But that's just me. I'll just throw that out there. I'm trying to take your approach. I'm not going to be mad at the Texans just yet.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
All right. I'm going to try.
Other news and notes from football, though, is apparently the Super Bowl halftime show prompted more than 1,300 FCC complaints. All 1,300 people complained to the FCC. One quote was that it was like a porno show or a strip club act. This is J-Lo.
Well, there was a poll involved.
And Shakira.
Right.
And they twerked. And they shook their booty.
Yeah.
But I loved my favorite thing about this, and I don't know if we mentioned this on the show or not, but my favorite thing was when everybody was just appalled that these two women were half naked. And it was just... I can't believe this is happening. But then a lot of people pointed out the hypocrisy of Adam Levine, being shirtless. With his little V hanging out down in his growing area. I mean,
his little V hanging out.
Yeah. What's the difference? But all these, you know, I'm going to get the manager,
this
ladies, all this stuff, that was cool. But this is not okay. Just because you have a frumpy body. Don't be mad at chicks that look good.
And there were some dudes that were complaining.
And let's
too,
be real.
Yeah, let's.
It was all middle-aged, ugly, large white women.
You said that last time.
That's what it is.
You're going to get them all riled up.
That's the fact, though. Is it not a fact?
It's a good. Dude, I would say there's a good percentage of them.
No man called the FCC and complained.
Oh, I don't know. No I saw man. A few, Maybe but I a, think they were very big churchgoers.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Okay, was Super Bowl halftime's performance, was that worse or better than Britney Spears and Madonna kissing on TV?
I mean, what do you mean by better?
Or Janet Jackson's
In terms of the people that are complaining, like what was more closer to porn,
what
I guess?
Was hotter?
I think Janet Jackson's, I mean, let's think kiss. About this, because you're saying, where did that happen?
That, I think that was on the MTV.
That was on MTV.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson's boob fell out. Whether
it was
intentional
or not.
I think
that was intentional.
I think it was. They said it wasn't.
1,000%
But that would be more porn-like than anything that happened between Shakira and J-Lo.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, there's several other incidents that were way worse than this.
Let's also not forget the NFL has been, there's been a ton of scrutiny lately on how behind the times and past their prime all of the halftime acts have been. This goes under the category of... Any publicity is good publicity. They're still talking about the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
NFL ain't mad at all. Then they got exactly what they wanted to get out of it.
Okay, so I did the research. So, first of all, in the article, it says, one critic from Illinois who lodged a complaint said it was disgusting and offensive. How can they put this on when children are watching? It was like a porno show. This was definitely some frumpy old white lady because no one says porno show.
Okay. Dude say porn.
Yeah. If it was a dude, they'd have been like, bro, it was like a porn. But, I mean, and then someone else said, how is a strip club act allowed as a halftime show on the biggest watched game of the year? Surprisingly, the most complaints came from Texas. What?
Really?
Get it together, Karens. Tammy's in accounting. Yeah, get your stuff together and stop embarrassing us.
I would think a lot of... Well,
Vermont was the only state with no complaints filed. And another viewer from Tennessee likened the show like in the halftime show, to an X-rated TV. I do not subscribe to the Playboy channel, the complaint said. We do not buy porn for $20 a flick. First of all, if you did, you'd be overpaying. We simply wanted to sit down as a family and watch the Super Bowl, they wrote. And now you've got to explain to little Johnny what an erection is. Because he's like, Mom, there's something happening down here. Because Shakira's hips do not lie. I saw you check the time.
Did.
Now, I did the Googles. Mm-hmm. I did, unlike you, Joel, I Google stuff when I don't know it. Instead of asking my co-host to explain it to me.
Stuff that does not go on the air. And he... Yeah.
So
what is it today that I'm in the crosshairs on everything?
Stop crying. The FCC, how many complaints do you think occurred with the Adam Levine Super Bowl? Because there were complaints. There were 1,300 for J-Lo. No, more than that. There were
four.
More than that.
Well, that's all I'm guessing.
That's all
I'm
you're...
I'm not playing this game. I'm not deeply partaking in anything else the rest of the show.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nick, go ahead, guess. Go say something that he can attack you on.
So there were 1,300 for the J-Lo Shakira banging it out on stage. How many complaints do you think there were for the Adam Levine Super Bowl?
Banging it out?
I mean...
more than a third. I don't know, 500?
94.
Wow.
94 complaints were filed for Adam Levine's 2019 halftime show, during which he exposes his bare chest, according to Deadspin. The 2004 halftime show with Janet Jackson's nipple, 540,000 complaints.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You got 500,000 people mad at a nipple? Y'all got to get it together.
That's more like porn than...
That's true. That's real nudity.
Shaking your tushy and swinging around on a pole.
But then, so someone did the complaints for the Adam Levine... Tennessee, where's the decency? Are nipples all over my television screen okay? That was a dude. Garden City, Michigan, I was appalled by CBS allowing the airing of nipples during its TV broadcast. These are the complaints to the FCC for a dude. So do you watch the Olympics? Do you watch the Summer Olympics with the swimmers?
Good point.
Is Michael Phelps' nipples all right, but Adam Levine's aren't?
Look,
they got
a
complaint from San Francisco for Adam Levine, so all the stereotypes are out the window.
I would just use it as some sort of vote. Look, how many people watch the Super Bowl halftime show versus how many people complain? That's a tiny, tiny fraction. You lost.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
And they needed to upgrade the halftime, and they got what they wanted. Everybody's talking about it, and it seemed to be a success.
Man, you should see some of these complaints are hilarious.
Don't do anything else.
They called what Adam, huh?
Don't do anything else in the Bay Area.
They called Adam Levine going shirtless nudity. Any nudity should be punished equally. This man took his shirt off and many children were watching.
He's also really tatted up too.
Yeah.
Because he's a man, that's okay? No, it doesn't mean equal means equal. He needs to apologize and be fined for showing his bare chested. God, people are weird.
Why you got to put the cut and shoot twang when you're making...
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Just figured that was definitely...
It was
like
one of them?
Some dude who's got like...
One of them.
He's got like chick boobs. You know what I mean?
In this segment, it's not going to be
a
perennial.
It was one of them. It was one of the cut and shoot folks.
1,000% it was fat white guys complaining about Adam Levine. 1,000%. It was just, you know, some burly dude who needs to shave his back. And he drinks Natty Light, and he probably, you know, lives in cut and shoot. And he's just like, that boy's too pretty to be having his shirt off. That ain't right. He ain't even a man. See this gut? You see how this boobs, they form one? That's a man's chest right there.
Say you, say me.
I ran out of time. I'm not going to lie on this one. But I do like Lionel Richie because when I'm 112 years old, I want to look just like him.
There are plenty of good Lionel Richie songs you could pull. This might one of them.
I think people dig this song.
Good song.
You'll sing this and you won't sing the outfield?
Nope.
We'll be back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Where else can you get the contrast between Lionel Richie, Say You, Say Me, and Two Live Crew?
Another group I really didn't get into.
No?
I went through a Miami bass phase for like 3 weeks where I had a bunch of DJ Magic Mike albums and some what?
Magic Mike.
That was a thing. You don't remember that?
No.
You're saying females were more attracted to Two Live Crew than dudes were?
Well, you almost made that really dicey with the way you said that.
No. I think dudes liked Two Live Crew because they exploited women more.
Yeah, because they had those like sexually explicit.
They were the first one to get the explicit lyrics, stickers, and all the controversy.
But that Miami bass sound too was cool. It made the little speaker box in my car sound good. That and Posse on Broadway. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just was never. I didn't think they had any talent outside of they had a little bass to the music. But as far as rapping goes. Joel, you're a better rapper than anybody, any member of Two Live Crew.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment.
It is absolutely a compliment. You're 1,000% better.
I think you should do, I think next segment, you should just do like the William Shatner thing where you just recite the lyrics to a Two Live Crew song. Maybe The Train.
Shake them up, them doo doo.
I don't know that we'd be on the air tomorrow, but.
Could you recite the lyrics?
The stickers were pretty accurate. Yeah.
Could you recite the lyrics to Doo Doo Brown? That would be a good, fun exercise. We could get Trey to do it. We could have him.
Me and my homies like to play this game.
Maybe not.
Yeah, no, we should. No, we need to now.
It's just called the Amtrak, but never mind. Never mind. Hey, guess what? Shinedown has just announced their Shinedown Deep Dive Tour. Is coming to Houston, Texas. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now to see the band dive into its extensive catalog to perform an array of deep cuts and biggest hits May the 2nd. First of all, Courtney, don't ever worry about what I do with underwear when you write copy like this.
Wow.
Talk about a dad copy. Okay, the deep dive tour for Shinedown, where they dive deeply into their extensive catalog. Deep cuts, bigger hits, May 2nd, Revention Music Center. If you don't win them, you can get them at livenation.com. But right now, caller number 12, 713-780-3776. You win two tickets to Shinedown. 713-780-ESPN. Caller 12, good luck.
So I Googled the lyrics for Doo Doo Brown. And it is maybe... the easiest rap song in the history of rap songs.
Let's just, I mean, the instrumentals for Two Live Crew were great.
The lyrics, pretty stupid. Like,
you're going to recite them for us?
No.
You're not going to sing the outfield, but you're going to recite Two Live Crew?
Well, there's, you know, the P word is used, yes. And then another word for it is used, and then they use the word for breast that you can't say on radio. So it's not a radio friendly, but it's just, you look at it and you go, wow, someone literally sat down and put pen to paper and thought, I need to write out. Hey, 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 16 times in a row. Just do hey times 16 and let's keep it moving.
And they used it in multiple songs because they also used hey.
Hey and more hey.
And then they also used "Hey, we want some."
Sure, they have the face
down.
That was
another song.
Face down. Mm-hmm. That's the way we. Yeah. See, this is just. I would like to hear Trey recite these though, and Shakespearean style.
I tried to do it as cleanly as possible, thinking about the only lyrics that you could possibly.
Not gonna happen.
Two Live Crew it and not get drilled by the FCC.
Not gonna happen. Yeah,
they're still making money though, aren't they?
We certainly don't want to get any complaints. This show is very clean, very family friendly. We don't want any FCC complaints at all.
There, Luther Campbell still is he? Are they still Uncle doing Luke? Well?
I don't know. What do you think Uncle Luke's net worth is?
Now, I'm gonna say $3 million.
No, way more than that.
Did you think? A production company too?
Oh,
what is it?
No, you weren't far off. $8 million. That's it. The main guy behind Two Live Crew. What was the other? There were some other groups under Two Live Crew that came out. Uncle Luke is only. I say only. Right. Trust me, I'd love to be worth $8 million. Dollars. I'd leave this. I'd leave you in a heartbeat.
Thanks.
Be gone.
There's the loyalty I was expecting.
Only worth $8 million, though.
Yeah, I would think whether it's withered away, wasted away, or there was some bad deals somewhere.
Yeah, I would imagine there were some bad deals that went down.
I'm pretty sure since we can't even name the other members of the group, they're probably not as well off.
How many? I mean, didn't Band in the USA go platinum?
The album?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it did.
Hmm.
Because people bought it simply because it was controversial.
Right. I was trying to look up how many.
When you had all the prudish church ladies that were kiboshing it on the news every night, in people between, were like, I'm going to get that.
In between filing complaints with the FCC about J-Lo and Shakira shaking their booty, they were filing complaints about Uncle Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see how many records sold for Band in the USA. I feel like that would have gone platinum, though.
It was pretty popular back in the day.
Yeah.
That evidently not with you as much as DJ Magic Mike.
You didn't like DJ Magic Mike? No. Feel the bass. No. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I just wouldn't.
Really? You don't even know who DJ Magic Mike is, do you?
Nick's out.
Wow, God, I'm old.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So on the NFL, damn too, we had talked about the fact that the player reps for each team were supposed to present the new CBA proposed agreement to the players, and we knew that JJ was against it, but evidently more people than not were at least open to it because the NFLPA and their reps have sent the entire CBA proposal to get a full vote. They haven't set a date on when that vote will come in, but it'll be interesting if that thing passes.
It will be interesting.
Less preseason, one extra regular season, more postseason teams.
I feel like there's going to be some more negotiations.
I think there has to be, but yeah, it just seems like there's too much of a divide to just say, because you're going to have some people that are butthurt if it passes.
Yeah. I feel like there was going to be some, hey, you know, we want more.
Oh, I thought you were going too like crew again.
Hey, and more, hey. No, I feel like there's going to be some, we want more money. Okay, well, let's figure out a number. Where can we land? We're not just going to take the proposal as is. So, yeah, I would imagine that there's going to be more discussions around it.
You would think. Also, they did an article where they wanted to point out the draft needs for all 32 teams. Before I even read it, you know, my first response was for the Texans. Yeah, I know what the needs are for the Texans in the draft. Corner. More draft picks. You've given Touché. Almost all of them away.
Touche. What was the answer?
I forgot what I read now. I have to read it back.
Oh, great.
Up.
Good job. I bet
because
you could,
I wanted to make,
I bet you could rattle
look,
off the Packers.
It's not often that I'm... No, I couldn't.
You couldn't?
No.
Come on. You know what the Packers' needs are.
Well,
how
know,
do you not know what
know
the Packers' needs are?
People are smart enough to tell you what the... Oh, see? So what they wrote for the Texans was Lamar Miller and Carlos Hyde are free agents.
Running back?
Yeah. And while Houston could choose to bring one back as a low-risk deal, the Texans need to find their future at the position. Duke Johnson's still under contract, but Houston needs a back to pair with him. The Texans don't have a first-round pick, but could take a running back in the second round.
Love you to death, Sarah.
More positions to watch. Cornerback, guard, defensive tackle.
Awful take by our
the rest
Sarah
of the
Barshaw.
Positions to watch, accurate.
Correct. Yeah, I think that they're obviously, if they could get, you know, Carlos Hyde back or Lamar Miller, I just don't think that that's not, is it a need? Yeah, but it's not the number one need. No, I think the number one need on this team is cornerback.
I think secondary, yeah. Regardless of how you slice it,
I'm just
agree
gonna say
with that.
Corner, but okay. What did they say about my Chiefs?
Well, right here in front of me, the Chiefs
corner.
Breshad Breeland and key reserve Kendall Fuller are prospective unrestricted free agents. The Chiefs have some work to do, so they should probably look at cornerback.
Mm. Yeah,
you
I
think
mean,
that every team in the league just got done. Look at cornerback.
My Chiefs do need it. Well, I mean, I just scrolled up. Broncos need a corner.
You know what
corner.
The second position Broncos, to watch is for the Chiefs?
Running back.
Yep.
Yeah, Broncos need a corner. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that need cornerback help. It's a pass happy league.
Your Chiefs, huh?
Yeah, my Chiefs do need defensive help. That is a fact. I've been saying that for years now. For years, for weeks.
In
Chiefs,
what did you call
Chiefs
it?
Chiefs fan years.
No, but you called it Chiefs Nation.
Chiefs Nation.
It's actually Chiefs Kingdom. We've pointed that out.
Who's the Chiefs fan here?
None of us.
You speak for yourself, pal. Go Chiefs, go.
I see your logo short of your Chiefs shirt.
Go Chiefs, go.
I gotta go.
Driving home, I saw somebody with a Cowboy sticker on one side of the back part of his window, and then on the right side, it was a Chiefs sticker.
Really?
I swear.
Front running ass.
AFC. I mean, that's from the old AFL days.
Or it's a typical Houston fan.
Fairweather?
Bandwagon.
There you go. Yeah. We got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next. Turn over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the usual suspects on Wayback Wednesday.
Today flew by.
It really did. I was going to say, really good show, and it really did fly by. So all things considered, as we told you, we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. So Fred, AJ, Aaron, they'll take you on your drive home all the way up until 7 o'clock. I believe tonight is a late hits night with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Okay.
And then the Hall Boys of Fame back with Brad and Booker T.
Yep.
So a full night of programming taking you all the way into the evening hours.
Into the wee hours.
Is Juggalo Trey producing?
I believe so.
Yeah. I'll be in with Pat, Jason.
Taste the freedom.
What was the noise he made?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have it anymore.
He did it, Nick, on the show when you were out.
Like intentionally?
Unintentionally. We were in the middle of talking about something, and we threw it like to Trey's opinion before he decided to chime in without needing to be cued. And man, he just went, yeah.
Did you see where ESPN canceled High Noon?
What is
Do you know what High Noon is?
No.
It was
a Western?
Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre.
Is that one that's always on when we're on?
Yeah. And a midday show. A lot of people are pretty upset about it.
Pablo Torre really, I mean, I never hated him, but I was always indifferent. And then he really grew on me. Like,
really?
I really liked him.
I've always liked Bomani Jones. I think he does a great job.
Bomani Jones is good.
Yeah.
But did you ever see Entourage?
No. Never watched it.
Pablo Torre looks like Lloyd, Ari Gold's assistant.
So ESPN said the reason they pulled it was poor viewership.
Which is the ratings.
But then the outrage that comes out about it, it's like, I don't understand how. And again, what is your expectations of a midday show on ESPN? Do you think just
Barry, Joel, and Nick?
No, I'm saying people at home. There's not a lot of people. Look, a lot of people listen to our show midday that don't even have radio. They're listening in the office on the stream or on their phone. Mm-hmm. And so are you expecting people to watch TV while they're working? It's pretty easy to pop in some earbuds and listen to us talk about penis for 3 hours. It's a little more difficult to pop in earbuds and watch a TV show. It's a lot different.
I thought you were going
to
say and watch penis.
No, it's no.
You lived up to billing, by the way, because you got it in before.
Yeah, I got to do my part. Yeah. But it's a lot more difficult to watch TV at work.
But you know, what do you can't just like be everything expecting else, it's ratings driven because ratings drives dollars because most advertisers, that's all they look at. They're not going to look at content and say, oh, this demo fits me because of the content on the program. They're lazy in terms of the way they market. And all they're going to look at is how many eyeballs are watching this show. You made fun of the morning shows that I watch getting ready.
Yeah, sit down.
Yeah, all those. But if you'd have told me, given me a multiple choice, I never would have told you that High Noon. I've seen the show on the monitors.
We're working while it's on, so you're not going to know.
I never would have known the name of that show.
But this is the statement. They say co-host Pablo Torre and Bomani Jones are extremely talented, and they helmed what we believe was a smart and nuanced show. Unfortunately, not enough people agree with us. We look forward to discussing with them how to best utilize their talents across a variety of ESPN platforms. So the good news is, if you're fans of Bomani Jones or Pablo Torre, they're not going anywhere. ESPN still wants them around. They're just going to figure out where to use them.
Can I ask what? So I know Bomani Jones has been a writer for a long time. What was Pablo's foray before he? What was his? What was he doing before he did the show.
I believe he was on the beat, but I didn't learn of Pablo Torre until I saw him on TV. So I didn't really follow him before then.
Yeah, it's like most of the guys on ESPN are either a former player or identify with him one way or another as being a writer or whatever. Because I'll tell you,
he was a writer, according to his wiki page, sports writer and a columnist for ESPN.com.
Okay. Because like some of the I'll tell you the other show that I think is absolutely horrendous that finds a way to keep going is the Dan Lebatard show.
Oh, you don't like
Stu Gotts and his dad on the air every day?
Okay.
And I mean, Sarah Spain going occasionally.
Just a hater, huh?
That show does nothing.
Yeah. Around the Horn is where I first saw Bomani Jones and loved him on it. I think Around the Horn's a pretty cool little thing. It, you know, yeah. I don't know.
It had its niche for a while, but.
But that's where I first saw Bomani Jones and thought, okay, this dude, I like his take on things and his perspective.
Used to be Woody, Page, and I think Skip on there?
It wouldn't bother me a bit if Bomani Jones became the new face of ESPN and replaced Stephen A. Smith.
Good luck with that.
I'm just saying because I like the fact that he's not as in your... He still has intelligent takes and good conversation, but it's not... I mean, we were just talking about how Stephen A. tends to go over the top on stuff, and I don't know. I just... There's that extreme, and then, you know, there's the other end of it, which is super boring, but I feel like Bomani Jones can have intelligent takes and opinions, controversial stuff.
I mean, if he grows his base, he could. He could be that. But I mean, right now, Stephen A. is a guy, he's at the point where he's got bodyguards. So it's
unbelievable.
Getting pretty,
does he really?
Yeah. I saw him with bodyguards in Vegas.
Crazy.
Really?
Dude, and if he didn't have them, to his defense, he would have been mauled. He would have absolutely
That's
been
crazy.
Mauled.
Wow.
Yeah. I never would have guessed that. Even during the All-Star games here and everything else, or every time he was working on a story for the Rockets, he could walk into the lunchroom during lunchtime and people wouldn't even get up from their chair.
Really?
And now he's got security guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the MGM Grand, he could not walk through people. Like, he couldn't.
You don't get to where he is and stay as long as he has if you're not popular.
Well, but also, Barry,
it's just because we don't like him or like the way he does it doesn't mean that a lot of people don't, because he gets tons of views,
to
obviously.
To your point of this show, it shows that there are people watching the appropriate content, you know, or the interesting content that they like on ESPN, because they've made Stephen A megastar, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you guys know who Stan Verrett is, or Verrett?
Stan Verrett.
Stan Verrett.
Yeah, he's the LA.
To be honest with you, I could never remember his last name. I could only remember Stan, but I recognized his face because he's been a part of ESPN for so long. He also couldn't get through the MGM.
Really?
I swear, people were asking for pitchers left and right. He couldn't move 10 feet without 10 people asking for a pitcher.
Wow.
So he and Neil Everett are the faces of SportsCenter LA.
Yeah.
The late, late SportsCenter. Right after SVP, who is the face of the prime 10 o'clock.
I was surprised to learn that SportsCenter, they don't, when you would think they would make a lot more money than they make. I mean, obviously, you know.
SVP's making good coin.
Of course. But coming up, after certain, like, people made it, people that would get a chance and start and try to work their way up, they weren't getting a lot of scratch to do SportsCenter.
Well, there's a reason why, too, when you look at and you it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. When you cross the gamut of looking at a lot of different broadcasters on different networks, a lot of them from MLB Network to the, you know, even like the overnight today, they do early today in the morning when I'm feeding the baby or whatever. And there's a Kylie Hartung, who she's pretty, but she was everybody got their start on ESPN and they got it for the exposure. They didn't get it for the cash. And then when it was time to cash in, they all took, like Robert Flores, who's a U of H grad, who was one of those SportsCenter guys. He wasn't going to get the money from ESPN. So he flipped over to MLB Network and he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Revson was another guy. He was the studio guy for ESPN on like weekends. They weren't going to pay him. He's the face of Big Ten Network. So you can, a lot of the ESPN people just use it for the exposure, and to their career's credit, then they move on to where they can get paid.
Somebody messaged me, Chase, said, I watch PTI every day, but I always watch it on the DVR. I'm not sure if that somehow affects the ratings. So if you're not a Nielsen family, you don't necessarily affect the ratings. I did learn this with our show. But DVR views do count in ratings.
Yep.
So you can be a Nielsen family, and that means that they monitor your TV watching habits. But if you're not a Nielsen family, and you'll know if you are, then you know your viewership doesn't necessarily count to the ratings if you watch it live. However, when you DVR shows, they do track that. So when we get our ratings report for the TV show, they give us the regular ratings report, and then they give us the 3-day and 7-day DVR report. So they know if somebody went back and watched the show 3 days after they DVR'd it or 7 days or more after they DVR'd it. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
If they can be that up to speed with TV, God, why can't they do something?
Do it with radio. So I'm going to need you guys to DVR Houston Sports Show every Sunday, 11:30 p.m., and then watch it. I don't want to get canceled like Bomani Jones.
You heard it right here from the star of the show. All right, we're going to wrap it up for today on a Way Back Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow, so hopefully you will be too. Every day, 1 to 4 p.m. on ESPN, it is The Usual Suspects. Coming up next, it's The Blitz, it's Fred, it's AJ, and it's Aaron. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.